We start again. Good morning, everyone. We're going to call this meeting to the operations and governance committee to order. Thank you. The date is Wednesday, December 14th.
2022. The time is about 11:25 in the morning. First item on the agenda is a roll call for the chairman of quorum.
Feedback.
Ms. Alvey, here.
Most likely somebody has the meeting up on their computer with the microphone on the computer on. It's not me because I just shut mine off.
Interference. That's only visual interference. Visual pollution. Okay. Okay, should we try? All right. Okay, no audio feedback. Terrific. All right. So, Mario, will you please call the roll to determine the quorum?
Okay, Ms. Aldine.
Here.
Mrs. Sagaski. I'm here. Ms. Diss.
Here.
Ms. Gustafson.
Here.
Ms. Hill.
Here.
Mr. Honigman.
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. All right. We will now go over the remote and in-person meeting rules for the day. For the members of the public who are joining us remotely to observe the meeting, go to trpa.gov. Under the calendar header, click on Governing Board Hybrid Meeting for December 14th, 2022. There you will find a link to the public webinar hosted on Zoom. To address committee members directly with your comments, raise your hand in Zoom by clicking Raise Hand at the bottom of your screen at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you have used the dial-in numbers to join us by telephone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand and be unmuted. To remote committee members, and we have one, there she is. Good morning again, Alexis. If you wish to speak, you can also raise your hand in Zoom. You'll find the hand icon on the bottom of your screen. Remote committee members may not use the chat box to make any comments or to have sidebar conversations. Finally, I would also like to ask that all remote members turn on their cameras, which she has, if they are able. Members of the public who have joined us in person, please raise your hand at the appropriate time for public comment, and you will be called on to the front to speak. Committee members who are in person, please raise your hand as well if you wish to comment and speak clearly into your microphone. Next item is approval of the agenda. Chris, any changes to the agenda?
There are no changes to the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Then we will deem the agenda approved as posted. We are now on item number 2 of your packet, approval of the minutes. We have a set of minutes from November 16th, 2022 on page 19. Does any member of the committee wish to make any changes? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes that are presented.
So moved.
We have a motion. All right. I guess we'll just do this by voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Thank you, Alexis. Motion passes. That brings us to agenda
item. Shelley, I was just going to note, I was absent from the meeting, so I'll abstain.
Okay, so we have one abstention. Thank you, Cindy. That brings us to agenda item number 3, a recommendation to approve the November financials. Information on this item can be found on page 155 of your packet. Chris?
For the record, Chris Schuyler, Finance Director for the agency. I'll try to move through this fairly quickly, but by all means, if anybody has any questions, please ask. We're continuing to be in good shape. We've got all the main revenues from the state in. We're starting to get billings from the first quarter in. Our planning revenues are still strong. They're actually backing off a little bit, so we're only 14% above the 3-year average, and we're only 10% above last year. So we're still strong there, but it wasn't as big as it has been. On the other hand, November, December, and January tend to be slow months, so I wouldn't read too much of that. And the regular expenditures are on track. Could we have the next chart, please? This just shows the remaining budget. The only remaining state revenues to bill are the TSAC revenues that come in on a cost reimbursement basis. And we also have some billings to do to the local support This is $150,000 from the counties. It's allocated partially, an even split, and partially based on assessed valuations. And the RNA team is just doing their partial update now, and as soon as that's done, we'll get the invoices out to the counties for that. Our contract expenditures are starting to rise, so we're starting to get back into the groove. And we'll be making our first of two debt payments this in December. This one will include both interest and principal. And go to the cash flow chart next. The monthly cash flow is negative, and that will probably continue throughout the rest of the year because that's normal. We get the big lump up to at the beginning of the year with the state funds and then spend it down. Our disbursements are running higher than prior years at about $2.5 million a month. But that's not a surprise because we're a much bigger organization this year. We're a $22 million budget this year versus a $19 million budget last year. And so that's all expected. We're all within budget and what we're expecting to do there. This cash flow will continue to go down through the end of the year. And a little bit later in this meeting, you'll get a request from Nevada Division of State Lands for some excess covered mitigation funds. If you put that request in together with the CTC request for the Motel 6 property, and it's highly likely we will finish the year with negative cash flow. Not a problem. That money's all sitting in the bank. But better it's being used for what it's supposed to be used for than just sitting in the bank doing nothing. That's all I had for that. If you could go to the next chart, please. The question came up last month in terms of our billings to TTD. So I put together a little chart showing that. And basically, there's a series of items. First, there's just the base rent on the space they occupy. And that's actually done on a square footage basis at $1.75 a square foot. I've done some look in the area. There's three other office type spaces in the immediate vicinity on the state line side, and they all want rent for more than that. They go for $1.85 or more. I did look a little bit on the California side, but to be honest, the near term, the close in stuff on California is all basically new construction. That's like Heavenly Village. And they charge absurd rates. They're getting $6 a square foot per month. So this is actually a pretty good rate for TPP.
Madam Chair?
Go ahead.
Yes, Alexis?
Thank you so much for this slide. This is awesome. And I don't know if you'll go into this a bit more, but is there any possibility, since we are looking at planning fees being up 14%, that we could look at a future agenda item of a possible grant to TTD until they get that operational, fingers crossed, support from the state as part of our package that we will be discussing with the governor-elect here soon. I just, every dollar, and I know that Cindy is also on this call, counts for TTD. And when she was chair, she felt this, and I'm feeling, you know, major concerns about the organizational's stability. And so I'm curious if there's any opportunity for us to look at that for, and I can add that as a future agenda item after, you know, at the end of this meeting, but I just wanted to bring that up. Thank you.
Thank you, Alexis. I'll have an offline conversation with Chris, unless Chris would like to respond this time.
It's up to the board, really. I mean, we were planning on those higher fees, but we understand the TTD issue. Mm-hmm. And we are, in fact, sponsoring the request from Nevada for the additional funding.
And we so appreciate that. It's great to see the two organizations working together to support the operational needs of both organizations. So I think that'll go a long way.
Okay. Thank you. Continue. Anything else?
That's really, I think, the main point. Unless there's any particular questions about the financials or anything like that, we were in good shape. We're proceeding on target for our budgets. There's no anomalies or anything like that that's concerning at this point.
Madam Chair, could I ask Chris a question? Has anybody talked to? We've got a new governor-elect, and the finances of Nevada, I've heard, are a little extended, should I use that word, and that they're looking at that. So have we talked to anybody to find out if we're going to be able to get anything from Nevada? Because from what I understand, it doesn't look good.
Actually, Nevada looks good. California looks bad. Nevada, the Economic Forum released its revenue projection last week, and it's actually showing a little bit of extra money in there, more than They said it was more than what the agencies asked for, but I don't know if that's more than the base ask as opposed to everybody's obviously asked for more money as well. The budget office themselves did not have a meeting with the governor or elect transition team until last week, and I haven't got feedback from them yet. But obviously, Julie is working hard to reach out to Ben Kiekhofer and the other people we know. If you want to talk about that?
Sure. Thank you for the question, Julie Reagan, TRPA's new executive director. I will just say thank you. We are in conversations and have been in Member Hill as well, members of the transition team, including former Senator Ben Kiekhofer, who we have a great relationship with as new chief of staff. So we're meeting with those folks. We're working on a number of issues. Our budget is a top priority, also transportation and infrastructure. As a request that's come through that we can help position infrastructure needs for the state as a transition team pulls together their briefings for the new governor. But we're being very bullish to get as many meetings as we can.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
We would appreciate as much help as we could get from members of the board, especially those of you who have contacts with the incoming administration.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I just to add to what Ms. Reagan stated, we are hopefully meeting with the transition team on Friday. I think Supervisor Gustafson has also been included on that. And we hope to kind of outline the big picture of what we're looking at for these infrastructure dollars, as well as obviously making TRPA whole. And I'm very enthusiastic that this will be something that hopefully we'll get the support of the governor-elect. I think it meets a lot of his goals for the new administration. So thank you.
Thank you. Cindy, anything to add? Okay, all right. Okay, and Chris, your report is complete.
Yes, unless you have any other questions.
Thank you. No, thank you. Appreciate that. Succinct and to the point. Thank you. Since we have no other committee members wishing to make comments, we will now go to public comment on this item. If any members of the public wish to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Maria, any members of the public wishing to comment on this item?
We have one hand raised, Madam Chair. Jean McNamara, if you'd like to address the committee, please go ahead.
Sorry, I was mistaken.
Okay, Jean. All right. No worries.
And Madam Chair, there are no other hands raised.
Okay. Any member of the public with us today wishing to comment on this item, please come forward. Okay, seeing none, we will go ahead and close public comment. And if there are no further comments from members of the committee, I'll entertain a motion to recommend to the governing board to approve the November financials.
Madam Chair, I'll make that motion.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mari, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Sagaski. Okay, with hesitation. Ms. Gustafson.
Yes.
Ms. Diss?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to agenda item number 4, which is a recommendation to approve Nevada Division of State Lands Excess Mitigation Fund disbursement request in the amount of $2,605,730. Information on this item can be found on page 177 of your packet. And Kim will be presenting on behalf of staff. Kim?
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Kimberly Chevalier. I'm the Environmental Improvement Department Manager here at TRPA. And I believe I am joined by our EIP partners at Nevada Division of State Lands for this item. So if I can have them introduce themselves as well, that would be great.
Hello, committee members. I'm Meredith Goshen, the Tahoe Program Manager. I oversee the Nevada Tahoe Resource Team, which is part of the larger Division of State Lands in Nevada, DCNR. I'm joined today next to me in our conference room with Sherry Barker. She's our Tahoe land agent in the state lands office. And then also on the Zoom call is Charlie Donahue, the Division of State Lands Administrator. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you very much. So I will start today on the presentation and just give a brief overview, and then I'll hand it back to Meredith, and then back to me again. So as is stated on the agenda here, I'm here to recommend the disbursement of $2,605,730 in excess coverage mitigation fees to the Nevada Division of State Lands to support the activities of the Nevada Land Bank. And many of you are now fairly familiar with how the land banks operate on both the California side and the Nevada side. TRPA collects mitigation funds or fees from applicants. If their project has excess coverage, it's overcovered, they can pay a fee as part of their application to mitigate that offsite. So with those funds, we keep those funds here at an account in TRPA, and they're dispersed to land banks. And with those, they can acquire properties, they can restore sensitive land, they can bank and sell and retire coverage. So this program is really important to implementation of the regional plan and achieving our goals of the environmental improvement program. So next slide. This cooperative relationship with the Nevada Division of State Lands has been in place for nearly 30 years now. Our interagency MOU outlines the activities and parameters for the funding and the disbursement process. And since the program has been in place, NDSL has processed 123 land coverage transfers, purchased 7 parcels totaling 25 acres, and retired over 600,000 square feet of land coverage. So the MOU allows for reimbursement of costs of the land banks, as well as activities for future activities. In general, NDSL will request the balance of ECM fees up to the end of a fiscal year, used to carry out the land bank activities per the MOU, and they submit a report to TRPA annually that documents the activities, their transactions, and their accomplishments. So the current balance of the account sits at about $3.7 million. So after this disbursement, there will be approximately $1.1 million left in the account. The last request they made was back in January of 2020, so about 3 years ago, for $1.4 million. So I'm going to hand it over to Meredith to talk about those recent activities of the land bank and the priorities for this disbursement. Go ahead, Meredith.
Thank you. I just wanted to start with our accomplishments. As Kim talked about, we have a longstanding partnership between our two agencies. And that last excess coverage mitigation fee disbursement was We actually received it in October of 2020. And so that $1.4 million really helped the land bank accomplish so much valuable work toward protecting and preserving Tahoe's water clarity. Some of those project highlights were a land purchase of 10.6 acres in the Upper Kingsbury area that provides important ecosystem services and contiguous habitat for wildlife in the basin. From that purchase, the Nevada Land Bank permanently retired over 8,000 square feet of sensitive land coverage. And I'm currently working with Kim to include that project in the EIP tracker in the Environmental Improvement Program as a project for part of our 2022 accomplishment reporting. The pictures you see above on the slide are from a state-owned parcel where we completed water quality and revegetation treatments in 2021. That funding to restore the parcel came from the 2020 ECM disbursement. Edgewood Creek flows through the center of this parcel in a stream environment zone, and then the entire parcel contains over 22,000 square feet of land coverage. Most of that is sensitive land coverage. We removed all of the hard surfaces and asphalt, which is that part of the picture on the bottom right. We decompacted the soils and then filled the large building pad, which is the photo on the left, with native soil that we were able to salvage from construction of the new visitors center at Spooner Lake. In addition, during 21 and 22, the Nevada Land Bank was able to retire over 7,000 square feet of sensitive coverage in Incline Village and over 5,000 square feet in State Line. Every year, as part of our accountability process, State Land provides TRPA with a report that documents all of the land bank actions. So those latest two reports detailing activities completed with the previous disbursement are included in the committee member packets today. Next slide, please. To look ahead, those fees from the October 2020 disbursement were spent almost a year ago in January of 22. And so we're in need of another disbursement to continue to carry out the program and then focus on our priority projects. So again, those funds were spent almost a year ago. So we're now at the point where we need to receive funds to be able to continue to administer this program on behalf of TRPA. Some of those priorities include acquiring sensitive parcels and coverage comparable to the accomplishments that I just discussed. And we're really proud of those accomplishments. We've accomplished so much on behalf of Sherry, our land agent, and we just plan to move forward in that same direction. For example, we search out land and coverage that has good potential for restoration or a strong hydrologic connection to the lake. It might have steep and rocky slopes. And we also look for parcels that are adjacent to other state and federal land, making them important habitat for connectivity of wildlife. The Nevada Land Bank is currently in negotiations for purchases similar to these that I've just discussed. We also look forward to completing environmental improvement program projects on sensitive and disturbed land, like the prior restoration example that I just gave. On the 10.6 acre parcel that we were able to purchase, we have plans of installing and implementing a shaded fuel break. And along with that, there are some areas that are in much need of restoration due to social use that was not addressed prior to the state owning that land.
Okay, I think that's the conclusion of Meredith's portion of the presentation. So next slide.
Thank you. To repeat myself, thank you. Meredith, I have one quick question. First of all, I appreciate the comprehensive nature of the report that you provided about past activities funded by the release of mitigation fees previously. Can you give us a little more specificity about these priority projects? I've been told there's a 10-acre site that you're in negotiations to acquire in Douglas County. Is that correct?
So, our preference is to not go into specific details so that we don't jeopardize the potential. But we kind of would like to point back to our accomplishments and say that we are moving forward in that same direction. We are currently in negotiations for a parcel purchase as well as sensitive land coverage, which seems to be one of the first of its kind in the basin if we are able to make that happen. Right now, without the disbursement, we have very limited capacity to further pursue beyond the point where we're at right now those acquisitions.
I understand the sensitive nature of proposed acquisitions. How about EIP projects? Can you be a little more specific about, I mean, those are not things that should be considered confidential, I wouldn't think. And I only bring this up, listen, you guys have done a wonderful job of fulfilling your obligations under the MOU. But I think that in past conversations with our prior executive director, we were anticipating that we would have a little more detail about what the future releases would be used to facilitate in terms of transactions. So I understand that, you know, if you're negotiating with a seller, for example, who doesn't want it to become a matter of public knowledge that these negotiations are taking place, that's understandable. But is there any additional detail you can provide, maybe on some of the EIP projects that you hope to pursue?
Sure. So one of those EIP projects, so, well, actually, they're not currently on the five-year priority list because we're currently in the process of working with TRPA and Kim and Beth Vollmer to list those priority projects right now because it's the EIP tracker reporting season. And so one of those that we're looking at is restoration on that 10.6 acre parcel. It was when we purchased the property, there was restored 1B coverage that had been listed as restored. And we purchased the property during the snowy winter months when there was snow on the ground. And so we didn't get a full view of some of the degradation that was there. And so that's one project in particular that we plan to go back in and actively restore with native vegetation because it's very high elevation and has really those rocky and steep slopes that I talked about that could have the potential to contribute to downstream sedimentation, which would eventually lead into Lake Tahoe. That's just one in particular that we have in mind. Of course, we're always in the market to speak with others who have hard coverage, removing asphalt and pavement and restoring those areas. One place in particular that was done in the past, using excess coverage mitigation fees, was in the Burt Creek area there by the sushi restaurant, and which is now Douglas County owned. We were able to pull up quite a large amount of that pavement and restore Burt Creek to a similar natural conditions, not the exact creek bed, stream bed that would have originally been there, but so that those benefits to the ecosystem could be realized.
Okay, thank you for that. I appreciate it. I have one quick question regarding on page 195 of your report, and I think it's great that you're cooperating with your sister agency in California, the CTC. I'm just wondering how this worked from a practical standpoint. You indicate that during the COVID pandemic that the Nevada Land Bank agreed to assist the Tahoe Conservancy in the processing of four transactions across Nevada state line. Could you describe how that unfolded and was the state of Nevada reimbursed for the time that you spent assisting the CTC?
Thank you for that question. I would, you know, I would rely on CTC to more directly provide a response, and I don't think that they're on the line today, but we were not reimbursed. We do work with our sister agency. Our land banks are run a little differently as far as administrative costs go, but we provide the same services. And so during that time, CTC, my understanding is that they were having an extended amount of time to be able to process those transactions. And so while they had that coverage available in their land bank, people were in need in California. And so we were able to provide those services to several people. It really utilized a lot of the coverage that we had available. And so we're currently trying to build that back up, and CTC has since opened the doors, so to speak, to be able to accomplish those transactions.
So these were coverage transfers across state line. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Which kind of diminished the availability of those assets from the ballot.
Yes.
But I'm sure at some future date they there might be some reciprocity.
Yes.
And I apologize for dominating conversation. The Burton-Santini Act of many years ago, as a result, Nevada acquired, as did California, a number of single-family parcels. Are those, maintaining those parcels, is that a burden to state lands, or are they, I mean, tree stand improvement, for example, I'm assuming is ongoing as needed. Can you just maybe give us a general idea of what sort of time commitment that represents to members of your staff?
Sure. So on my team, the Nevada Tahoe Resource Team, there are 8 members, and that includes myself. We have an administrative person as staff. We also have 2 foresters. One of those foresters works more specifically on state land that's located inside Lake Tahoe Nevada State Park. So those 4 different units of state park that are on the Nevada side of the basin. And then we also have a forester who oversees all of the forest health treatments and hazardous fuels reduction on those parcels that you're talking about. It was around the same time as the Santini-Burton Act that the Forest Service had for federal lands that the state of Nevada had a similar act, the Tahoe Bond Act, that allowed us to acquire sensitive parcels such as those that you're talking about. We currently manage over 250 acres in the urban environment. And so this 10.6 acre parcel that we were able to purchase with excess coverage mitigation fees will now move into that program to be managed by the forester and seasonal staff that we hire to be able to do things like implement that shaded fuel break that I talked about, to do hazardous fuels reduction. Of those 250 acres, our forester was able to implement projects on 54 acres just over this last season. So we feel that the state parcels are in a pretty good place, and he has a fairly aggressive plan moving forward to be able to accomplish over 40 acres of treatment every year in a 5-year cycle.
Okay, Meredith, thank you for that. And I see Charlie's hand is raised. Charlie, did you wish to add something?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted, Charlie Donahue for the record, I just wanted to point out to the committee that the funds that the agency uses for that work on our urban lot principally comes from other funding sources than excess coverage mitigation fees, which the request is today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that clarification. Okay, any members of the committee have any questions regarding this request? No, not seeing any. All right. Then we will move on to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen, or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Anyone in the audience wishing to comment on this item? Seeing no nodding heads, all right. We'll move to those who are joining us virtually. Maria, any member of the public wishing to comment on this item online?
Madam Chair, there's nobody online to make public comment.
Okay, thank you. Then we will close public comment. If there are no comments, second chance for comments by the committee, not seeing any. I'll entertain a motion to recommend the governing board approve the release of $2,605,730 in excess coverage mitigation funds to the Nevada Division of State Lands, subject to the conditions contained in the TRPA NDSL Memorandum of Understanding.
So moved.
Move to approve.
I'm sorry. Okay, we have 2 motions. All right. Thank you. Appreciate the enthusiasm. That's great. Okay, if there's no further discussion, no comments on the motion, Mario, will you please call the roll?
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Mr. Honigman?
Yes.
Ms. Diss?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Aldean?
Yes.
Madam Chair, the motion passes.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Thank you to State Lands for joining us here. this morning, almost afternoon. That brings us up to agenda item number 5, upcoming topics. Chris, anything you'd like? Obviously, the audit is going to be scheduled in January.
The audit will be in January. We just had our exit conference with them yesterday, and we're starting to get the draft financial statements, so I don't think there's any problem getting there. I will give you a heads up. There will be one minor finding, and this is similar to one we've had in the past, where we did not get the El Dorado County Transportation TDA audit in a timely fashion. We've had this problem before, and we're trying to find a way that we can do that a little better. The auditor also said there are some slight technical errors with the El Dorado County audit, but not anything that we should worry about. It's kind of between them and Caltrans. To my knowledge, that'll be the only finding that we have. Otherwise, we'll have a clean opinion. Actually, we will have a clean opinion. No reservations. And we'll bring that to you in January. We had one slight glitch, and that is our audit partner is not available on that date, so we'll have the manager instead of the partner. It may be remote. So.
Okay. Right. And obviously, the roof work is holding, right? I see no active leaks in progress, so that's a good thing.
We've had to patch a few things just to make them sure, but yes, it's been very good.
All right, great, all right. Thank you, Chris. Any members of the committee have any questions for Chris on upcoming agenda items?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Chris, I do think we should be looking at the California budget and the potential there and just making sure we're tracking that. And I know staff is always doing that, but we're hearing things all across the board and arguments within between the LAO's budget and the legislature's budget. So we'll certainly be seeing the governor's release in early December of proposed budget, so we'll see. We should be prepared to have an update on that. Yeah.
And actually, let me update too that there's one item that they deferred. They pretty much rejected all of our other requests, but the item for the staff salaries was deferred. But it was deferred to do some more research, and that money comes out of the special fund. It comes out of the environment license plate fund. So the good news in California is most of our money does not come from California General. And the environmental license plate fund, we think, still is in good shape. There are some issues there, and other recipients haven't been updating their data, so they had to close that fund and set it aside. But we need now to go through and may revise and resubmit that request and work through the Department of Finance to make sure they have the right data. So that's what we're working on.
Okay. Any other comments by members of the committee? We will move on to, obviously that was information only. So maybe additional agenda items added between now and the January meeting. But we'll now go to public comment on this item. Any member of the public wishing to address the committee on this item, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Any member of the public wishing to make any comments on upcoming agenda items? Seeing none, we'll move on to our virtual audience. Maria, anyone indicating a desire to speak?
Madam Chair, there are no hands raised to make public comment.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll close public comment and move on to agenda item number 6, committee member comments. Everyone's reasonably quiet today, so any parting comments, Barbara, from one of our departing board members?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it. I just wanted to thank the staff for everything that they've done and tell you that it's really been a pleasure to be up here. And I used to tell my staff, I have this terrible job that I have to go up to Tahoe. I'm so sorry, but I'll be up there all day. And I was really disappointed when COVID hit that we weren't able to meet in person, that we all learned about Zoom meetings. But I just want to thank staff for everything. All of you have really done a tremendous job, and it's been great to get to know you. Madam Chair, it's been a pleasure to be on this committee and work with you and talk to you and all the other members. I just want to thank you very much for including me and letting me be a part of it. So thank you.
It's been mutual, and we'll be providing more accolades, I suspect, later in the meeting.
I'm kind of afraid.
You can excuse yourself if it's too embarrassing. So we have one last general public interest comment period. If any member of the public wishes to address the committee, please raise your hand now, either in person or by clicking the raise hand button at the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 on your phone, and you will be called on and unmuted by a TRPA staff member. Final call for public comments on items not on today's agenda. Okay, seeing no one in the audience, Mario, any hands raised?
Madam Chair, there's nobody for public comment.
Okay, thank you. Then we will close public comment. Is there a motion to adjourn? All right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Yep.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. The legal committee will proceed in 5 minutes.
And over
will
in,
be
the...
in the Washoe Fremont.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.